excited to interview you, Caitlin Smith. What's up?
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy to have you. And we met, our first original time we met was for Cracker Barrel because I was interviewing for Five Decades, One Voice. And Trisha Yearwood was one of the features, and she featured you guys because you wrote her single.
Yes, that was so cool because we got to, well, you interviewed us, but then we got to perform the song with her, which I had mentioned in the interview that, she was the girl that I was like singing to as a 7-year-old looking in the mirror, like dreaming and hoping to be someday. And so it was a crazy, weird, full circle moment to then be able to stand up there and sing a song with her. Crazy. Life is insane.
Well, and tell me about that song, because that was a song that had been recorded. Y'all had made like how many demos? Like 5 demos?
Yeah, I think we like changed the demo like 4 different times. You know, we wrote it years and years ago. But we just believed in the song and it, you know, it kept going on hold, which means artists are like, maybe I'll put this on my record. Like for like half a dozen artists, like put it on hold, but nobody recorded it. But then Trisha heard the song and fell in love with it.
Tell us the name of the song.
Every Girl in This Town.
Favorite. Love it.
So, I mean, it's crazy because I even remember writing the song and like, I was thinking about Trisha. I was thinking about like the music that I grew up on while writing it. So it's a little bit insane that she went to record the song. So
are you a visualizer?
Yes, big time. Yeah. I'm like very goal oriented. I write out, you know, at the top of the year, all my hopes and dreams. So very much visualizer.
So what does it feel like? And I was reading your bio and like just all the things that you've done. You have now written a single for Trisha Yearwood, performed it with her. You have been on tour with Faith and Tim on their Soul to Soul tour, which is like one of the most epic things you could ever do as an artist. I mean, Faith and Tim, come on. You toured with Sheryl Crow, who you said was like your biggest inspiration. And then you got to learn from her and you were so inspired by the way she toured and ran her business and her family life on the road. What is that like when you are actually living your dreams? I ask a lot of people this. I have the great privilege to interview people like you who are living their dreams. And I always want to know, like, what does it feel like to actually live your childhood dreams? Like, you're singing in the mirror with a brush to Trisha Yearwood, and now you're writing her single and performing with her. I mean, that has to be crazy.
It absolutely is. It's an out-of-body experience when you finally step into that thing that you've been dreaming of for so long. And you know, I'm grateful for every, you know, experience and moment. But when I'm like up there on the stage and I like in front of like 13,000 people and like actually doing it, I'm like, this is wacky. What the heck? it's a out of this world experience. But the crazy thing is because of being a visualizer, you know, I'm already like on to dreaming the next thing that I actually have, like, I've got to work on just being so much more present in the moment, enjoying the moment while it's happening, instead of being like, oh, but this is coming up next. Like, and actually being in quarantine for the last couple months has been a beautiful, beautiful exercise in just becoming present and appreciating the now, which has always been hard for a future caster like myself.
Talk to me about your quarantine experience, because this has just been such a crazy time. Like, yeah. How have you found the beauty in it?
Well, it's been extremely challenging. I mean, I think for everyone, it's hard as an extrovert. Yeah. You know, I miss my friends, I miss my family. Professionally, I released a record on March 13th, which was right after we got pulled off the road from touring with Little Big Town.
Touring with Little Big Town, dang it!
I know, we were out with Little Big Town.
Sucks to have to get off the road with them.
I know, it's so heartbreaking. And we had like a whole promo week, you know, set up with doing TVs and the whole thing, you know, and all that got canceled.
Ugh.
And so it was like, it was a shock at first. And I think it took us you know, a good couple weeks to deal with the trauma of like, wow, we, you know, we knew what 2020 looked like and now we have no idea. And so, you know, the first part of it was a struggle, definitely. But I think we've kind of, you know, grown and settled. We've just accepted the realization, like, we're not going to be touring this year and we'll just have to figure out other ways to like promote the record, to get the music out there. And you know, I'm also a songwriter and I write for other people as well as myself. So I still have, you know, stuff to do, which makes me feel good to like have some job.
Right. Cause you wrote, you made Like I'm Gonna Lose You for John Legend and Meghan Trainor.
Yeah.
That's a huge song.
Thank you. Which that, I mean, that's such a blessing. You know, being able to write songs is so, it's so fun. It's like not work to me. And I love the opportunity, you know, of being able to sit with another artist in a room and pick their brain and try and pull their story out. It's an incredible experience. So I'm still able to do that, like over Zoom, over FaceTime, which is cool. But finding the beauty in quarantine, it's been nice. It's, even though it's hard to slow down, it's been really, really nice to just be with the boys. I've got a 3.5-year-old and an 18-month-old. So we're busy. And my husband and I are just trying to enjoy each moment.
Well, I admire that about you. I just interviewed Sarah Evans and she was talking to me about how she was just sort of unapologetic about taking her family on the road with her. And she always did it. And I appreciate that about you because you take your family on the road with you.
And absolutely. My husband plays in my band.
You just make it happen. And I really admire that because as a woman who wants to keep my career going as well as have a family, like sometimes you hit this point in the road where you're like, I have to pick. I can only be a mom or I can only be an artist or I can only have a job. I can't blend them together. And when I see women like you saying, no, I'm going to make this work. It might be stressful as shit at sometimes, but I'm going to do it.
Totally. I mean, you just, if you want to do it, you make it work. And if you're willing to go through the stress and the strain, like, I just think that there's so much beauty in being able to take them with us and see the world and show them all these crazy places. But it's beautiful to be able to like do the job that we love and also be able to like kiss our babies goodnight every night. Like that's magical.
It is. And okay, so on your new album, Supernova, your song Supernova is about that. Your kids growing up so fast. And it just being like such a blast of light, like, man, that made me like, I told you when we started this Zoom, like it made me a little teary, like hearing it because how did that song come about for you?
Yeah. I mean, that song definitely can trigger the waterworks. I think any song that's talking about time moving and your parents getting older and you watching your kids just grow before your eyes, like that triggers so much emotion and holds so much weight for me. And I remember I was watching my little one play in the backyard and I kind of had this like, whoa moment of like, it felt like just a minute ago, like I was just a kid upside down on the monkey bars. And now I have this little humans to look after and I'm married and I have a mortgage and what's going on? Like, was just kind of hit with like, man, life is just moving so quickly. And I hear that happens when you have kids too, that it just all of a sudden like just starts speeding up like crazy because you're just, you know, everything's marked by their milestones. And so I just opened up my phone and I just started typing and that became like the whole first verse. And then I took the idea to my friend Amy Mayo, who's an incredible songwriter, and mother and author as well. And so we just sat around and we just talked about our lives and our kids and, you know, like it just like, we just started crying and we got this vision of like this supernova and we're like, what is that? Like, what is that about? And we like Wikipedia, we're like, what exactly, how can this tie together? And we, we read that it's the, you know, the brightest, most beautiful expression of a star in its final moments, which is so cool. Like, it just burns as bright as it can before it's gone. And I was like, whoa, I got chills. And I was like, man, shouldn't that be how we should live our lives?
Oh, so, gosh.
The song was born from that. So.
So you don't like to record songs unless they give you the feels.
True. I got to feel it, baby. I love to sing from my toes. And if you've got to sing it every night, I want to believe it. And I think chills, getting chills is a way that you actually are truly physically feeling the song. And so that's a good marker for me if it gives you some goosebumps.
So what is the vibe and the idea behind this album, Supernova? Like, what is the heartbeat to it?
Yeah, totally. Well, the Supernova as a whole is a little bit all over the map as far as emotion. You know, there's love, there's heartbreak, there's loneliness, there's you know, trying to change yourself, trying to make sure. So it's kind of hitting a wide range of human emotions. And so I was kind of looking at the record when I had picked the songs. I'm like, well, what is the red thread here? Like, what are all these songs about? And I realized, like, Supernova floated to the top for me as, like, that was my favorite song, like, of the album. And I was like, well, actually, all of these songs are little supernovas. Like, they're all, you know, their fullest expression of each emotion. And so it seemed like the perfect name for the album because the record, you know, it kind of has a little something for everyone depending on what you're going through. But my overall thing was just to kind of give, here's a platter of the human emotion. Here you go. So, yeah.
I love that. I just feel like music more than ever right now is, we're all in such a vulnerable time. Like, we've all been stripped so wide open, and like the world is so raw right now, you know, like everyone, it's just, we can't hide behind our busyness and our agendas and all of our to-do lists because most of us, that's been wiped out.
Yeah,
and totally. To hear your music and to hear music that's so real, like, I feel like that's what we need. Like, I really do. I feel like mm-hmm. this is some sort of awakening in all of our consciousness on some level, that it's like, we just got to get back to the root of the human spirit. And I love your music because that's, it takes me there.
Thank you. I got chills when you said that, so thank you.
It's a lot to be an artist and put yourself out there and be vulnerable. Like, it is really hard. It's like you're walking out naked every single night and you're like, here I am. This is the depth of my soul. I wrote it in a song. It's from the innermost spot in my being. Right. Now you all can just take it and have your opinions about it.
Exactly. I mean, it is, but it's so beautiful because I, as a writer, like, I've found that in vulnerability, that's where you find the connection. Like, when you find something that's so specific, like, that you think might be so specific to you, like, that's where, like, oh my gosh, like, I feel so connected to that. Like, there's this line in, like, a John Mayer song, Still Feel Like Your Man, where he's like, I still leave your shampoo in my shower in case you want to wash your hair. And I was like, that's such a weird line. But it's the line on the whole song that sticks out for me because I'm like, who doesn't remember, like, breaking up with someone and then, like, not being able to throw away the shampoo? Like, I don't know. Like,
yes.
So it's strangely specific that you're able to grab onto it. And so, you know, I've found over the years of writing that if you're able to paint this picture or really get to this, the truth of it and the guts of it, that people are able to grab onto it a lot easier.
And I think that is truly a talent to be able to put that into a song specifically like that. So then it triggers emotions in all of us, you know, who are listening.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. So tell me, when you're on the road with Sheryl Crow, I loved reading this about you, that you, like, were so blown away by the way she ran her life and business. What was it that impressed you?
Man, she is such a badass. I can't even handle it. And it was. It was a total dream come true, too, because I just... I grew up on those records. I like know every nuance and note of those albums. And so to be able to listen to them every night was such a mind blowing treat. But seeing her behind the scenes was, I think, even more valuable. She brings her boys out on the road. She brings the soccer nets and is playing soccer with her boys or riding bikes with them. And one thing that I noticed about her and her band is, I mean, they really make, it seems like they make an adventure out of the whole thing. You know, I've seen a lot of touring acts where they roll into the city and, you know, they don't really get out. And then they just, you know, they kind of stay in the tour, right? Yeah. But with what I loved about Cheryl and her band is they all kind of go on their own adventures, and she talks about it like, today we went to the museum and then I took my kids to this restaurant, like, which I thought was so cool, because you're coming in as an artist into a city and really like all these people are coming to see you, but you have the opportunity to like love on their city too. So there's this beautiful, so there's more of a connection that happens there. Like Sheryl Crow goes to the zoo too. Awesome. Totally. And so it was great to see her, you know, being like a mom and being such an incredible, like, cool leader. And so that experience was absolutely invaluable. And I got to sing Strong Enough to Be Your Man.
Stop.
With her a few times on the road. And that was like, what is life?
How did that feel?
That was crazy. And I was like super pregnant on her tour with my second kid. So I'm like out there like boop, 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 and like just singing the song that I've sang 8,000 times in the shower, and was like, okay, this is a movie.
What is a movie though? And I just like, I love people like you who have dove, I don't know if that's correct grammar, who have dove into your own movie. Because I feel like so many people have dreams and talent, but yet there's all sorts of obstacles that make us not want to pursue those and that make us tell ourselves that we can't do it. And really, how do you combat those, like that negative self-talk or those fears that creep in? Because I feel like a lot of people hit that wall of like, oh, I'll never be able to do this. Or, oh, there's too many people out there that are doing it. I can't compete with all that or whatever. How do you stay centered in your dream to like believe in it and go so hardcore for it, to live it? Like, how do you keep yourself on track with it?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I haven't always been like full gung ho staying the course. There's been plenty of times in my life where I've been like, gosh, like, should I even be doing this? Like, should I just go teach yoga? I really love yoga a lot. Like, like, I don't, you know, there's been so many times that I've like, wanted to give up. And I mean, I've been blessed and feel very grateful to have an incredible support system around me, my husband, my family, and my close friends, of people that just, you know, when you are feeling like, gosh, I don't know if I could do it, there's people around you going, keep going, you got this, like, you know. And so I think it's really important to have like a mentor, to have a cheerleader. You know, if you find those people in your life, like cling to them, right? Because especially with the music industry, like it's not easy, and you have to get good at hearing no 1,000 times. I think that that's a big piece of it too, is you have to be stubborn with your dream. And you're going to hear no, but then you just like, okay, they said no, we'll figure out another way. We'll just pivot a little bit. And I think any entrepreneur, like anybody starting their own business, whatever, you're gonna come up with that. You're gonna face that, where you come up to a problem and you're like, oh man, that's really hard. Like, should I keep going with this? But then, you know, there's always a way that you can like pivot and keep moving, or, you know. And so, you know, community is a big thing. Continuing to like stay the course, you know, business wise, with like trying to just make good decisions. I don't know. And I'm a big dreamer and I write it out. And so I think that that's a big thing too, is like, just, you know, center yourself like at the beginning of every month and say, what are some little things that I can do to get me there? Okay, I'm going to call that person. And, or I'm going to write 3 songs this month. I don't know, like set even small goals so that you can at least start walking closer to where you want to be.
I love that. I also am a visualizer and I write down everything too. And so I really am curious, how do you get the ultimate elephant that you're trying to eat? And then you take little bites of it. Cause like what do they say, how do you eat an elephant? 1 bite at a time. So like your elephant, like your ultimate dream, how do you find that? How do you find that enough to write it down? Like, how do you know what that big dream is enough to know that's where I'm headed, that's where I'm going? Like, how do you find that within yourself? And then like, how do you write it? And then how do you break it down? Is this making,
like, how do you break it down? You know, if I may do a little plug, because this is something that's really, really helped me, is there's these things called power sheets.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of these? No. Cultivate What Matters. Power sheets. And it takes you, and you don't need to get the power sheets to do this, but it takes you basically through your life where you kind of just figure out like who I am, like who am I? What do I get excited about?
Yeah.
And then the beautiful question, which I'm like constantly asking this like weekly, is like, where do you want to be when you're 80?
Yes.
What do you want to be true? And I also feel like quarantine has like really helped this too, because so many times you think like my dreams are just my job. Like, and you can just kind of get lost in that trap, which that's great to have those dreams. That's awesome. But when you're 80 years old, you may or may not care how many Grammys you have on your piano. Like, there may be more important things. And so when I'm 80, I back up and I want a happy, healthy marriage. Like, I want to have had an adventure of a life. You know, I want to love people really, really well. And so it's like a little bit of broader strokes where you zoom out, which is cool. And maybe you're like, yeah, it'd be great if there was like a few Grammys on my shelf. Well, how do I get there? And then you just kind of break it down a little at a time. And so this book specifically is pretty cool because it breaks down the sections of your life into like seasons. And this is like, I mean, this is really, you asked if I'm a visualizer, and this is like,
I think this is
the most. But you kind of do a check-in like every 3 months on your overall health of like, how is my marriage? How is my physical life? Like, how is my spiritual life? And you just kind of like, how are my friendships? You kind of rate everything. And then you choose like 3 of the things that kind of like are lacking. You choose like only 3 to focus on. And so, and then you break it down from there. So let's say like, you know, in this season, I can't really focus much on promoting a record like as I normally would. Right. And so, you know, that's just kind of like going over here for now. And so in this season, I'm putting energy into my marriage, putting energy into being a mother. And then also energy, cause I think it's important, like into connecting with people, because we can't be connected and be in person right now, like making sure I'm connecting with friends, Zooming, FaceTiming, things like that. And so, you know, each season you set small goals, but you kind of got to break it down from when you're 80. That was a long rant.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I love it. Where do we get this book?
So it's online. I believe if you look up, let's see, I think it's Cultivate What Matters, or you Google Power Sheets and it will come up. They're very pretty. And I love it. They've got a calendar in there. You write your like what you're excited for the month, what's on your mind that you're stressful. You write out your fears, which is a big one. Because when you write it out and see your fears in front of you, a lot of times they become like silly or like, oh, wow, that's okay. That's the worst thing that could happen. All right. What am I waiting for? You know, a lot of times those fears are like just silly things we make up that aren't even that true or that bad.
And also with fears, I feel like sometimes we don't even necessarily take the time to identify what the fears are. We just feel them in some sort of
right.
you spot.
I'm kind of afraid. I don't know why. Right.
This anxiety. And so then we just have anxiety and we're holding this foggy fear. But really, like you said, if we just take a little bit of time and write it out and
unpack it,
get to the root of why we have this fear, it loses its power.
It's so true. And I think, I mean, so many people don't go after their dreams and don't chase after the things that they really want. And it's because of fear. It's because something in your brain is telling you, like, you can't do that. That's too hard. But you can do hard things. It's just one step at a time, right?
And exactly. And you just have to break it down. I love this inventory check that you're doing with your power books, because the thing is, people, I feel like a lot of times people don't want to take the time to dive into themselves because A, it's a lot. It's emotional unpacking, and you have to get
it's a lot.
Who you are and like uproot some of your deepest, darkest lies that you've lived with that you looked up to, have made you believe about yourself. For whatever reason, we carry around all this stuff about ourselves that isn't true, but it's just a story that we play over and over again. And so it takes a lot of work to actually unpack it. It takes a lot of work to create peace and forgiveness for all of this and acceptance that all these things, these lies, these stories that we carry around, really has nothing to do with us most of the time. It's someone else's projection of themselves on us or whatever.
Totally.
And then to get clear and to get quiet and to figure out, who am I? Like, who am I without my job, without my parents, without my relationships, without the world, without everything around me? Who am I? And that, it's a daunting task, but
it totally is a daunting task. And, you know, a lot of this record touches on this very thing we're talking about. Like, I have a few songs in here about change. And the first song in the record is called Long Time Coming. And to some, it may sound like a breakup song. But when I wrote it, you know, I just had a baby, happily married, you know, but I was in this place of personal excavation where I was just kind of digging through this and kind of getting rid of those things that don't serve me. They don't serve anybody else. And looking in the mirror and like breaking up with the parts of myself that I don't like. And same with I Can't. It's like that the song I Can't, I think it's like the seventh song on the record. And it's talking about change and how sometimes like looking at it is like looking at a friggin' mountain and you just feel like that's too hard. I can't do it. But the truth is you can.
And haven't you noticed that, I mean, this is so cliche, but it's so true, and I know that you live this. On the other side of the fear that we hold, it's really not that hard. It's not nearly as scary as we thought.
Yeah, it's so true. I think you go, you do the work, the hard work, and you come out better on the other side. Definitely, when you're able to shed those fears, shed those voices, and walk into, like, step by step of who you really want to be, like, there's so much beauty and so much power and wonderful things in that.
And I wish that everyone would take the time to do this and get this book that you have on. Even if you can just start, if someone doesn't know how to start, this is a great place to start, because if we all could just look at ourselves in that honest way, wouldn't we all feel so much more free? And then because of that, so much happier and create such a better energy to the world instead of carrying around all our fear and resentment.
Absolutely. I mean, I love it. I mean, so it's so simple. Just closing your eyes and thinking, like, what is my 80-year-old self all about? And like, what do I want the whole story that I just lived to be? What do I want to be true in all of that?
Okay, so what do you want your 80-year-old self to be? Who is 80-year-old Caitlin Smith?
Man, I mean, I did share, you know, a few pieces with you. Like, I'd love to just inspire people along the way to find their light and to shine that as bright as they can. I feel like one of my gifts is encouragement as a person. I really just love encouraging the shit out of people to just do their stuff. And so I hope that's true. I mean, I hope that my marriage can be healthy, that my kids can like be healthy, beautiful individuals. You know, I want to create a home that's welcoming, and I love cooking and entertaining and stuff like that. And so I want to have at least, you know, a few thousand beautiful dinners around my table, right? And it's funny because as I list these things, like, not very many of them are like, well, I want to record with Paul Simon. Like, cool, maybe I want to do that. But at the end of my life, if I don't record a song with Paul Simon, it's going to be fine. Like, there's just bigger, broader strokes as humans, and that I think are just more important. And so, you know, and when I do think of my career and think about those things, like, well, it's, you know, touring Europe would be fun, or, you know, headlining Red Rocks would be really fun. I don't know. Like, you, there's things that like your peers and your, you know, mentors like have done that seem really cool to do. But also I'm not going to define who I am on whether or not I do those things. I'm going to try to like do my best in my job, but it's just a job. And I'm bigger and as a person than that. So, and so are you, and you, and you, and you.
Amen to that. But I mean, let's talk about some cool things. You had a freaking sign in Times Square.
Okay, that's cool.
who gets a billboard in the middle of Times Square? I mean, that's people are playing Red Rocks on some level for sure.
That's so cool. God, I can't even believe it.
Moments where it's like, holy shit, you have your face and your single on a billboard in Times Square. You die?
That's like, I did die. That's bizarre. Like, every time something like that happens, I'm like, what? My face? Okay. That's cool.
I hope you reveled in that moment. I hope you took that moment in, because, I mean, that gives me chills thinking about it. Those are the kind of moments where it's like, yes, like you're saying, there's so much more to you than those moments. But when those moments do come into your life, it's pretty freaking magical.
It's a freaking gift. It's really, it's so cool. It is. And like, I mean, we definitely celebrate big when something happens and bust out the champagne. I think it's important to do that. Celebrate the small things too, like, and the big things. But that, yeah, that was really cool.
So talk to me about flow, because I feel like you are someone who writes out your goals, writes out your dreams, has discovered who you are and what makes you yourself and what makes you tick. But do you, after you do all this work to discover who you are, what you're passionate about, where you want to put your time and energy, do you let a lot of it just go into the universe and let it unfold how it will on its own? Or how do you deal with
that? I mean, I think I choose specific things in certain seasons to put energy into. And so, for instance, like right now, I can't put a ton of energy. Like, I can put a little energy into creating, and that's really great. It fills me up. But my job right now is like to be a good wife, to be a good mom, and to be a good friend. And so, you know, that's right now where I'm like trying to put my energy, but it'll shift. Once we get back on the road, then it's like my energy needs to go into balance and into figuring out like, okay, do I say yes? Do I say no to this? Okay. You know, let's go do this.
When you want to say yes and when you want to say no, what governs your yes and your no?
It's really, I mean, Raleigh and I talk it out. We're like, is it worth it? It depends on so many things. It's hard. I feel like, it's a case by case scenario. I don't know the answer to that. Sometimes it's like, well, that doesn't sound that fun, but it pays a lot of money. I like making money. That's cool. Let's do it. But then sometimes it's like, oh, well, that's a really great opportunity. It doesn't pay anything, but let's play this benefit. it's going to give a lot of money to people who need it. So, you know, it just depends on what it is. You say yes for different reasons, but it's also different seasons. Like if you've got a lot going on, you have to start saying no to more things. I think that's for everybody, right? In every season, you're like, it's a lot. Then it's like slows down. I don't know.
Aware and intentional you are. Like, I feel like that just is the thread of who you are and everything you do.
Thanks. I try.
What has motherhood taught you?
What has what?
Motherhood taught you.
Oh, man. So many big things. When you have that baby, it's like your whole priority list just gets washed away and you get to rewrite it, right? Mm-hmm. Motherhood has made me want to go on this journey to become a better version of myself. It definitely like squashes the ego. That's a big reason too why I love taking the kids on the road, is because I'm wiping snotty noses before I'm going on stage, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, right? Beautiful. Like, well, here, let me get that booger. Okay, mama's gotta go sing. Like, there's something so beautiful in that. That's like, and like, they're watching you all the time, and so it definitely turns on the heat to like, when I look at myself, I'm like, okay, I want to be the best version of myself that I can be for my kids, so I can, you know, not let them push all my baggage on them. You know, I want to show them a good human. And so it's a lot. Being a mom teaches you a lot, right?
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, I feel so emotionally exposed more than ever. You know,
that's so true. Because they also know your trigger points. And so you're like, oh, like they're screaming no at you. And you're like, oh, you're just three. I don't know why this is making me so mad. But this is my problem to sort out. Okay. That's beautiful. Emotionally exposed. It's so true.
Every part, I just, and like you said, whatever ego I thought I had before. And now it's like, because every day I totally relate to what you're saying. Like, I want Sunny to have the chance to discover who she is and figure out what her dreams are, and I want to help facilitate and guide her in any way I can. I don't want to put pressure on her, but I want to be safe. And so it's like I'm so focused on her finding her light and being, giving her the best shot she has to like uncover all that and try not to put all sorts of other shit on her so she doesn't have to go to years of therapy. I mean, she will. Right. But, you know, I want to try to keep her slate as clean as possible so she can just be herself. But, I mean,
totally. Of course. We'll all mess up somehow. And there's a beauty in that too, because they can learn from that as well, you know. But that's awesome.
Yeah. But so like for me, it's like I feel the same way. I just want to do what I feel like my purpose is, and I really don't have much energy or time or care to do anything else like I did before. Like,
right,
like keeping track of like trying to, I don't know, also keep up with whoever I thought I was trying to keep up with or compare myself. It's like I don't really have the time for that like I used to.
It really just doesn't matter as much, right? Which is a beautiful thing. Because it's what's beautiful is that you're able to then hold that dream lightly and just let it be and not like force things, because you're putting your energy and your focus on your kids and your family, and that's so beautiful, man.
How do you keep a healthy marriage on the road?
That's a great question. We have an amazing counselor. I really am an advocate of counseling. And I feel like, you know, I feel very grateful because a lot of artists like are doing it apart from their spouse. And that's a whole nother deal of hard, right? I feel grateful because we are doing it together, but then everything is together. We're parenting. We're doing sound check together. We're eating together. then we're going to sleep together. It's like everything's together.
Yes.
The beautiful thing is that we do really love each other, so that's great. But, you know, we're committed to, you know, if we get on each other's nerves, try and like find space to give. It's like, hey, I'm just going to go be alone in the car for an hour and listen to a podcast. Like, you know, doing our best to give each other space is important in our scenario. And also, like, if we're out on the road for a long stint, we will do date nights. Even if we're, like, always together, it's like, let's just have this time where it's, like, not the kids, it's just us, and we don't talk about music. Yeah. We just drink all the wine and have a lot of fun, right?
Yes.
So it's like the lines are really blurry on the road between music and marriage, you know, and it's just, you know, doing our best with each tour and each weekend. It's tricky though.
Yeah.
Cause but we're doing it. We're committed.
Being together on the road is a whole separate thing than not being together, and they're both hard in their own ways, but it's right. Like, yeah, because like when you're together with someone 24/7, it is a lot, but I am with you, it's a huge blessing and you're glad to have it that way.
Totally, it's such a blessing. But I've also noticed that, like, especially if we're touring with the whole band and we're like in a van and like the irritation is just building,
yeah,
because you can't fight it out, right? Because you're always around people. So just leaving space for like a daily check-in. That's like, hey, how are we? How are you? You know, and leaving space for that so that, and like even 5 minutes to be able to talk about it is helpful for us. But we're still learning.
Together with tons of people all the time, it sure makes you pick your battles, doesn't it? Because you can't just. Yeah,
that's a big one.
You can't get upset when there's like 10 people in a van. You all are.
No.
You're all cranky. You're all
got to be made of grace in that moment, right?
If everyone's just pissed off all the time, it's like, you know, it'd be explosive. So it's like you really learn traveling in large company how to just let things roll a little bit, I think.
Exactly. You let it roll, but then also it's all about perspective, because you can wake up and you can be crabby and you can be like, oh, this van ride so long and da 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 da, or you could focus on, cool, we have a job, we're gonna go play a show tonight, I'm with all my best friends, this is really fun. Like, it's really a lot of times if you're in that headspace, you just gotta go burp, 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 change a little bit.
You gotta find the blessing in it always.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so I have a couple more questions, then I'll wrap up. I absolutely adore you.
Same.
I think that you are one of those really amazing artists that is just straight soul all the time. Like when you, like your, even your album art, like dang, that picture.
Thank you.
That is just like, I went to your website. I mean, I'm super emotional right now. Like I think I still give myself credit for having a baby and like being emotional from that. But like, there's just so much.
Oh yeah.
I was listening to your album and I went to your website and I saw that picture and I just like, it made me emotional because it's so beautiful. And it's not just like, oh, there's a pretty person in a picture. It was like art. Like your picture is art. And you were just art. Like, I feel like your expression of art. How did you come up with that artwork? Because it's like you bending over backwards in the middle of a galaxy in this flowing dress. And
it's so crazy how it happened. But usually like the night before photo shoots, I'll go on Pinterest and I'll just kind of, I'll look up like poses and I'll look up like specifically like Vogue poses or like weird, you know, like beautiful like photography art I've found is like, it's all about angles with your body. And so I just like made a whole page of poses and I was like, I really want to get this backbend picture. And the photographer, David McClister, he's amazing. And he was like, okay, let's do it. And he kind of caught my vision. And I had this like dress with this like cape that J-Lo had worn. So I felt like a total queen. And I was like, oh, I've got my J-Lo dress.
Did J-Lo actually wore that dress?
She wore that dress. No big deal.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
It's so fun. So we were getting this beautiful, it was like, sunrise actually when we took that photo. And I'm like, you know, running through the fields and like trying, and there's cows everywhere. I'm trying to just step in cow poop. I'm like barefoot. don't step on cow poop. Don't wreck the JLo dress. And like, but also like, show them your good side of the camera. Like, it was so crazy. But then I'm like, okay, let's get into the back bend sequence. But I think I had to do it like 70 times because I really, he was like, we gotta get this picture. And so like, I had been doing a lot of yoga, thank God, but I still had a really sore back the next day. But we did a ton of those back bends. And then it was like one of those images when you're like going through the photo shoot and you're like, what? Like, that's the one. And then when we decided the album was Supernova, our director on the thing was like, let's make this the night sky instead of a sunrise. So that's the whole long story of that. But it was so much fun to do.
Oh man. It's just like, I feel like that everything is just a perfect match on this album for you. And you, that's probably just you in general, because I feel like you can't do anything unless it gives you all the feels. And so I just feel like it's all the feels.
Thank you. That means a lot. What I love about it, that being the cover art, is that it's a heart opening back bend, you know, it's a heart opening expression. It's a very vulnerable expression. Like, I don't know anybody listening, like, who does yoga, you know, like a camel pose can bring up some feelings, right?
Yeah.
It's because it's so exposing. I once heard a yoga teacher say, like, it's because, like, it's unnatural because, during war or whatever, like, you want, or, like, back in the day, like, you could, if you have your heart exposed, like, you could get stabbed, you could die. Like, that's why people wear breastplates and things like that. And so, like, to have your heart open like that is a very vulnerable thing, and that's why I think it just fits perfectly with the whole album as a whole. So
well, as a fan of yours, and I know everyone else who's listening who knows you or is discovering you right now, like, thank you for sharing your vulnerability, because
that's
brave. It takes a lot of bravery to do that, and it also takes a lot of heart to do that. And then I feel like because of that, it impacts other people to be able to find vulnerability within themselves, and so it's such a blessing.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Okay, I always end all my podcasts with leave your light. So what do you want people to know? Just as basic as that.
Oh, wow. Like about life, about myself? What do I want people to know? Leave your light. Oh, this is like, it feels like writing my opus. Like, it feels a little scary. The one thing.
Just whatever comes to mind first. It's like whatever sparks something in your mind. And it's wide open. It can be any category, anything. Like, what do you want people to know?
That's beautiful. I mean, we've talked a lot about not being afraid today. And to kind of trying to shed the things that don't serve you, and to walk and to try your best to walk and step into that person that you want to be. And so, I don't know who needs to hear it, but I think don't be afraid is a really, really great, it's so simple, but it's a really, really great thing to hang your hat on. Like, especially in a time right now, it's so uncertain, right? But we're going to be okay. Like, we don't have to worry. We've got a whole community. We've got a whole world going through this together. And everybody's got each other, everybody's back, right? And so don't be afraid, baby. You got this.
I love that, Caitlin. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me.
Oh, absolutely. Same, same, same. I really love chatting today. This was awesome. So
you're amazing. And Supernova, it's out, right?
Supernova is out now. You can download, stream, share it with your mom, buy it on vinyl, all the things.
Oh, yes. I sure appreciate you. Okay, don't hang up. I'm going to end this, but
okay.
Bye.
Bye.